personal foul. Unsportsmanlike conduct.
Astree tackled the quarterback. He's giving him business down there. That's a 15-yard penalty.
All right, so I'm told that I have to take my headset off and go sit in the corner of the room for about 20 minutes.
I did not say that. I did not say that, but being a huge Wyoming fan as I am, both figuratively and literally, I have to talk about what's going on with the Wyoming basketball team. So, historically, people kind of crap on Wyoming basketball, and I'm never sure why. Let me just throw this out there. We have a very rich basketball history. We have two national championships. No, neither one of them have been recently, but we've got two of them. One of them before the NCAA was called the Helms Foundation Championship in 1934. The other one came during the NCAA tournament, 1943, and there was a man named Kenny Sailors. And Kenny Sailors was from Burns, Wyoming, which is outside of Cheyenne.
I'm familiar with it.
And Kenny was shorter than his brother. Kenny was about 5'10". His brother was about 6'5". So in other words,
a little bit
like me and Aaron. And he could not shoot over his older brother on the family hoop and had to come up with a way to do it. And so he came up with a method that is now referred to as the modern jump shot. Now, there's people out there who say, well, there's no way of knowing who was the first person to jump up in the air and then throw the ball up. I'm talking the mechanics of the modern jump shot. The hand to the side, the backward rotation, the rise and elevate, the arm to the square. Basically the same shot that the NBA players use now. The first person to refine that and use it in a regular fashion was Kenny Sailors. And yes, he's from Little Burns, Wyoming, which is barely a town. But he went to the University of Wyoming, was an All-American. They won the national championship in 1943. Not only that, they went and defeated the NIT champions after that in a challenge, which was to raise funds for the Red Cross. They won that one as well. And then all these guys went to war. Kenny Sailors went and served honorably as a Marine in World War II after this. 1946, returned to Laramie and became an All-American again.
Oh, and we're going to bring up World War II in a little bit, too,
but
when
I'm
we
just
talk
saying,
about the World Baseball Classic.
I'm just saying, think about that. We're talking a different style of human being. And, you know, there's people out there like that. I mean, Ted Williams, we talk about those types of players. Anyway, but he's in that mold.
Mm-hmm.
Played a few years in the NBA, basically, as he put it, just long enough to get a pension. But he could have played longer, but he didn't want to. Ended up moving to Alaska with his wife and kind of plowed the road for women's athletics in Alaska. He is a very popular, everybody knows who Kenny Sailors is up there. Anyway, he should be in the Naismith Hall of Fame. He's in the Collegiate Hall of Fame. He should be in the Naismith Hall of Fame for basically refining, inventing, slash, whatever you want to call it. So that's one guy from Wyoming, of which there are many more. Flynn Robinson won championships with the Lakers.
Just while it's in my brain, too, you mentioned Burns, Wyoming. I think I was talking to Duke the other day. I had to Google this the other day to make sure it was real or if it just sounded cool. But there's a professional wrestler whose gimmick is creepy stalker murderer guy.
From Burns?
No. So his name's Dexter Loomis. His gimmick is does not blink, wears gloves to his matches. His finisher is a stranglehold. And he doesn't talk. He doesn't talk and he doesn't blink. That's what he does. And he has a creepy mustache. And he's from Recluse, Wyoming. Oh. So I Googled it. He actually really is from Recluse, Wyoming, which is the northernmost city in Wyoming before the Montana border.
And it's not a town. I mean, it's not.
It has, I think when I Googled it, it said population 31.
I said there's no way it's incorporated, I guess is what I'm saying. And there's lots of those types of towns in Wyoming. In fact, we live in a place, Star Valley, there's 14 towns, only four of them are incorporated.
Where do you suppose he went and got this buff? There's no way there's a gym there in Recluse, Wyoming.
Have you not seen Rocky IV? That's how Rocky got buff was he went in the Tetons.
How did he learn he was an athlete?
I don't know. But getting back there, but Flynn Robinson played for the Lakers. Dr. Jerry Buss. You heard of Dr. Jerry Buss? The guy, the Showtime Lakers, owned the Lakers. He's from Kemmer, Wyoming, University of Wyoming graduate. was a huge donor to UW and during his lifetime. Obviously, everybody knows who he is. We've had a lot of very successful pros: Reggie Slater, Eric Lechner. Most recently, Theo Ratliff was in the league for a long time. Top 20 all time in blocked shots. Currently in the league right now, Larry Nance Jr. Plays for the Pelicans. What I'm saying is, and then obviously the NCAA stuff. Fennis Dembo is one of those guys that was one of the Sweet 16 darlings of the late 80s. He was on the cover of Sports Illustrated. What I'm trying to say is Wyoming has a rich history of basketball, even going back to the roots of basketball. And yet, for whatever reason, there are certain people who just like to assume that it does not, and it pisses me off.
And apparently that's like half of your roster is thinking that right about now.
I don't know.
Abandoning ship.
So we go back a few years, and Wyoming is at the top of the conference with Larry Shiat, who's on his second or third stint with the team. Larry was a hell of a guy, coached in the NBA for 30 years. In fact, I think he's with the Mavericks right now. Anyway, loved Larry Shiat. We were very competitive with him. We replaced him with one of his assistants. It didn't really work out. He gets fired. So the Cowboys are in real trouble. They go get Jeff Linder. And Jeff Linder was at Northern Colorado, had taken the Bears to the NCAA a couple of times. And within 12 months, he had a single-win Wyoming team with the number one recruiting class in the Mountain West ever. Highest recruiting class ever. We've never had that. And this was during COVID. Did this over the phone. And so we're just all amazed. And then we get this guy named Graham Ike as one of them. He's a 2010 guy. His hands are the size of two people's hands put together. It's like when E.T. has that really long extended finger. He's got 10 of them. Just a really good player. We loved him. They go out. The Pokes get these three other transfers, two of them from USC, one from UCLA, and they're supposed to kind of complement what we have. We go to the NCAA tournament. We get beat by Indiana, and then we're rebuilding or reloading. It's like, oh, my gosh, expectations through the roof for Wyoming basketball. You're at the NCAA tournament. You have all these guys, literally all of them but one coming back, and then you're adding these three transfers from Pac-12 schools, guys that have played in the NCAA tournament. I mean, expectations are sky high. And then, right before the season starts, Graham Ike, the preseason player of the year for the Mountain West, suffers what's called a lower leg injury. We never did get told what it was.
He got that Andrew Luck disease.
But something serious to the point where even the optimistic people in the program were saying it was going to be until January before he came back. Well, let's just shorten it a little bit. He never came back. He did not play.
Hopefully this isn't whatever Lonzo Ball's got going on.
Those three transfers. So, I mean, they spent an entire offseason building around Graham Ike and what this team was going to be. And then you lose him. And then it turns out some of these guys maybe don't want to be there as bad. It's like, well, I can't say I blame them. They moved from Southern California to Laramie, expecting to go to the NCAA tournament, and now you're on a single-win team. Well, or single digits. Anyway, kind of shortening it, in January, those three guys leave the team. The Cowboys, whoever's left after injuries, Noah Reynolds is out for the year with concussions. They gut out the rest of the finish. He even had a couple of nice wins over New Mexico and Nevada, which was a tournament team. So those three guys, and now that number is up to 9. Today with Graham Ike coming full circle. He announced today, Tuesday the 21st, he is in the transfer portal. Jeremiah Oden entered it last week. Xavier Ducell entered it a few days ago. Those are three of the five starters from that NCAA appearance. So Wyoming now has literally three players on scholarship. Three. And one of them, Brendan Wenzel, he's a transfer from Utah a couple years ago. Caden Powell, he's a redshirt freshman or just a true freshman, I can't remember. And then Kenny Foster, who I actually thought was done medically because he had suffered a bunch of injuries. Anyway, I know you're maybe thinking, I don't care about all this. This is huge news. for Wyoming sports fans. And it should be huge news for anybody of a what's considered to be a mid-major, group of five school, whatever. Whatever you want to, whatever they want to call them, because there is no stability anymore. And the interesting thing about this, Aaron, was when Graham Ike followed Jeff Linder to Wyoming, he was a signee with Northern Colorado, but then he tore an ACL his senior year. And everybody else who was kind of recruiting him, like Colorado and some of these other schools, kind of backed off. Well, Jeff Linder's like, no, you're my guy. I'm going to be with you. And when Graham Ike came to Laramie, he was like, I'm here because of loyalty. I'm here because of loyalty to Coach Linder. Well, now, again, I'm not casting aspersions at Graham Ike or any of these guys, but the whole idea of loyalty is different now than what it was 5 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, I don't mean to make you sit through all that, but it is it's a miserable, awkward time right now for Wyoming basketball. It's kind of hard to look at the tournament and go, we were there. We were literally there 12 months ago, and now you have three players? I've never heard of that. I don't even know what to think. You as a former athlete, I know it was a little different. You played a different sport. And obviously, was it a four-year school?
Yes.
Okay, so at least there's that. I know with JUCO, it's a whole different thing. They kind of have to, you know, they're constantly shuffling guys in and out because it's a two-year thing. But when you went and signed to play football for Missouri Baptist, did you think, well, if this doesn't work out, I'll just go to another school?
Not really. I did have teammates, though, that did abandon us the second that we had, I say abandon, I mean, go out there, get whatever you need to do done to better your career and all that. We did have a wide receiver who came in and started as a freshman, and we all thought, ooh, wow. He got his GPA back up. Apparently that was why he came here, is he had offers to,
okay,
I want to say Kansas, Iowa, and Penn State.
But he used it as a stepping stone to get somewhere else.
He had something like 900 yards for us and five touchdowns. Played his freshman year. Sophomore year, he was off to the University of Illinois.
Which you know, I guess I'm totally understanding of those types of things. I mean, Randy Moss went to Marshall. I mean, stuff happens. I get that. And I get that some kids get homesick. I get that there's certain levels of attrition when it comes to programs. I mean, you know, maybe mama gets sick and you're 2,000 miles away and it's like, I can't do that. I got to be closer. I get those things. But some of these guys have been in Laramie for 3 and 4 years now. You know you've got one of the best coaches. You know you do. That's usually the question. Do I have a coach who understands his a-hole from his elbow? We do. He's a fantastic coach. Maybe he's really hard to play for. In fact, he says he is. He said that multiple times in the face of all of these transfers. But I just can't help but look at this and think, what is it about the transfer portal that is so attractive? Because while there are certain success stories, you hear them. I mean, there was one just this last week. You had the guy from oh, crap. Which matchup was it? One of them was at Kansas State and then was playing the team that they're playing. And, you know, there was some of that. But that's a rarity right now. In fact, from the stuff I've read, like 70% of these guys and gals that enter the transfer portal, they still don't have an athletic program to call home yet. And I look at it and I go, I could understand if it was the other way around. If it was 70%. Found a team right away, I could see that then. It's not. It's like 30% or less of people who don't even know where they're going to go to school next year. And I'm like, how is that preferable than what you were just doing? I don't understand it. You know, and again, I understand every situation is different, but clearly there's something going on in Laramie right now where it is crossing all of those individual story arcs and encompassing them into one big pot, because that is a crap load of transfers.
And I, you know, obviously I follow college basketball a lot less than I do college football, which is for the most part the sport I spend the most of my time in college watching.
Well, why not? College football is awesome.
Yeah. But I know in college football, it's become a big deal that, you know, there's 273 draft picks every year. 256, yeah, something I think like it that. Is. Draft picks every year. Some of these guys end up transferring and they just straight up say out loud, they're like, well, I was really good at, you know, Arkansas A&M, and my agent thought that maybe I'd be a seventh round pick, but if I transfer to Oklahoma State and play there, I could get up into the fourth round and make another $1 to $2 million a year. I better go do that real quick for my senior year. And then people are just straight up being honest and upfront about it. Notre Dame just got the benefit of that.
And sometimes that does happen.
Sam Hartman.
But it's.
Who broke all the ACC records at Wake Forest.
There's like a thousand. There was like a thousand football, over a thousand in the football transfer portal.
Yeah. Sometimes I'm wondering if they aren't literally just.
Getting lied to? Are they being stupid?
I mean.
Combination?
When you say it's stuff like there's over a thousand, I can promise you right now, we could sit here and debate what's the most common one. There's no way that there's any one answer. If there's over a thousand, some dude didn't like the cafeteria.
Oh, yeah.
Some other dude had a roommate that was annoying. And some other, like, stuff's just happening at this point. There's no way that.
Yeah, you're exactly right. I'm not pinning it on any one thing. I'm just saying it's turned into this turnstile of, oh, well, this has to be better than where I'm at. And then I'm like, where are all the stories now of, no, it's not better than where you were. And that's the interesting thing about the Wyoming team. One of the guys that is left that has come out publicly, the only one actually, who came out and said, I'm not going anywhere. I'm staying right here. His name's Brendan Wenzel. And Wenzel had originally signed with the University of Utah. Went out there. Things weren't quite what he thought. Went in the transfer portal. Came to Wyoming. And now he starts.
Mm-hmm.
And I wonder if him having already gone through that.
He's like, nah.
He's like, no, really, guys. This is. But at the same time, all of his teammates just friggin' left. Mm-hmm. They're all gone.
Yeah.
He's going to have two guys that were scholarship that will be back next year. And no offense to Kenny Foster, that guy has hardly played the last 2 years. He plays so hard that he hits his head on everything and he's always hurt.
I can respect it.
And I can too. I would prefer to have someone who's on the court.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I respect his effort, but I just, anyway, I had to just kind of rant on this for, okay, as you say, a minute, it's been 17 minutes, but I just, it's hard. It's hard enough being a Wyoming fan. It is. Because I feel like you always have to constantly be on the defensive for people who just dismiss you because of, we are a rural state. We are a square state. So we're easy. Although, if you're being technical, we're not quite square because we've got that little wiggle thing up in the park.
There is that little whisker up top.
Yeah, the little wiggle thing up there. That's right. We have Yellowstone. Take that. Most of it. And I bring that up is because my mother-in-law used to brag, she's from Montana, how they had Yellowstone. And I'm like, what, like 2% of it?
You know what every person listening to this that isn't from Wyoming or Montana is going to think when they hear, huh, there's a big feud going on between Wyoming and Montana?
No, there's not. We have all of it. We have all the good stuff.
Like when you see two kindergartners slapboxing at each other in the playground, you got to go break it up.
See, you just did it. You just badmouthed two whole states.
It's a lovely
state.
Why
are we slap boxing? We have more guns per capita than anywhere else in the world.
Per capita is a very important part of that statement, though.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, I got a closet full and I'm not even considered
a sportsman. Back in Chicago, we had so many that we weren't allowed to have. That, I mean, it's just friendly fire at this point.
Yeah, you guys, and nobody can hit anything. I look at this transfer portal. And I hope that at some point there's some semblance of sanity that comes along with it. And I understand it does give the athlete a little more power than they did. It does take away a little bit from the coaches. And you know what? That probably needed to happen. Because there for a while, you would sign on to go play with a coach. The coach was there for 2 years. You know, let's say you go and sign to play with Fairleigh Dickinson. Mm-hmm. And you just had this great tournament run. You'd knock off Purdue. Well, that guy's taking the Iona job now.
Mm-hmm.
So your reward is you came and you played your guts out for Coach so-and-so. He's taking another job as soon as he can because, oh, let's face it, they're probably doubling his salary.
Well, and you're still there. You heard the thing with Coach Sanders leaving Jackson State, heading to Colorado. He took half his team with him. They all just hopped in the transfer. They said, well, he's
and then he showed up and told the ones that stayed at Colorado, you might as well have left. That's basically what he told. That could be a whole show on its own. And honestly, we will talk about that. I do think that there's good things about the portal. Like I said, I think it gives the athlete a little more power. It takes away a little bit of the power from the coaches and the NCAA in terms of the sway they have over these players. But in the meantime, while we're figuring out what that balance is, man, Wyoming fans, it's almost like coming back from the death penalty at this point. I mean, you think back to SMU in football and they restarted.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really see much difference between us and restarting.
You
other
get
than
three.
We have three, one of which started a few games. And at the same time, I will. There's already guys out here, freaking idiots. Well, maybe Jeff Linder should enter the portal too. You freaking idiots. Do you remember who our coach was? Alan Edwards before that? Had no idea what was going on. Before Larry Shiat, we had Heath Schroyer. Heath Schroyer is one of the worst mistakes of a coach ever. Sometimes they have no idea what they're getting. Sometimes you do. We know we have a great coach.
Mm-hmm.
Let him go do his job. He's got it cut out for him for sure. But I just had to rant a little bit because it's a tough day. You get, when you're a Wyoming fan, it's the only four-year university in the state for you people out there that aren't from Wyoming and aren't familiar. So we latch on to UW. It's Wyoming as a state's been described as a little town with really long sidewalks. It's been described as that. And so we call these players by their first name while we're watching them play. And so when Graham leaves, when Xavier X-Man leaves, I met Xavier's mom at the tournament. We talked for 30 minutes. So when these guys leave, it hurts. It hurts us Wyoming fans because it didn't work out. And I would hate, and I know it happens, but I would hate for them to go to their next chapter and go, oh yeah, Wyoming, man, that was rough. I would hate that. I would hate for them to feel that way because it's such a special place and we love them. Mm-hmm. And I feel hurt today. So there it is. You've been my therapy today.
I was about to say, and speaking of the transfer portal, I remember when that started really getting big. And my first thought was, and obviously this is kind of the difference between, you know, people live out here. And like you said, the whole state of Wyoming has this one university. They all latch onto it. And it just so happens that it's Division I, but it plays in the Mountain West Conference. Whereas where I'm from, a lot of people are Notre Dame fans, especially the Irish community,
because
their nickname is the Fighting Irish. It's weird, but it's what we all did.
Or even if you're just Catholic. Hey, that's the Catholic school. I'm cheering for the Irish.
And Notre Dame doesn't really we're usually the ones doing the vulturing.
Right.
Not getting vultured. And I remember my first thought when I started, and I'm like, oh, that'll probably be really good for Notre Dame. But I'm from Illinois. When Notre Dame is doing its thing in the Big Ten, I'll watch that. I always root for the Illinois schools. I'm like, all right, Northwestern, Illinois, Chicago, Champaign. Cool. I bet these two are just going to get picked clean constantly, aren't they? And shockingly, no, not really. They haven't really lost
They're
that many.
They're still in the Big Ten.
Yeah, and
which says
it,
something.
It kind of does. It puts it into perspective, though, that I, my whole life, just in that area, that's kind of what I thought of as the small schools. And it was Champaign, Illinois, and Chicago, Illinois, both in the Big Ten. And, you know, the teams out here, you know, Utah, Wyoming, teams like that.
Although,
this transfer portal
Utah is in the Pac-12.
It is. And they're really good at sports, which is, again, amazing because I make fun of Duke all the time. And Notre Dame is the most guilty of any party. It feels like they steal from Utah, like Utah is their farm system, and they're coming down to collect their players.
And if you're kind of confused, Duke is a coworker of ours, not the school.
Oh, yes.
It's just, although he does like the Blue Devils quite a bit.
Literally because of their shared.
Well, why wouldn't you? There's no school out there called Dow University.
And there probably never will be.
Oh, thank goodness.
DeHall.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Let's go into that. That was funny.
My Siri in my car, I get a text message from Dal on the way to the studio, and it hits me with the, you have one new text message from DeHaul, or DeHool. DeHool is what it called.
That's even better, because it makes me sound very exotic. Instead of being the...
It still feels like it was adding letters.
Instead of being the 12th generation Nordic or Norwegian white guy that I am. It's just...
like, you'd never pronounce HL as Hool. Like, there has to be other letters involved.
So I don't know.
I'm not sure why Siri just... It's like, you know what? That looks like he probably forgot to put a couple O's or a U in there.
That's kind of why I struggle with the way parents and this whole new generation, they will name their kids. And then the quote-unquote woke generation will get after you for not saying names quite correct. Well, that's disrespectful. You're showing them disrespect by not learning how to say their name. Their name is normal, blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, my name is Dal. I'm 46. My name has been mispronounced for 46 years. And it wasn't until 2 years ago I actually found out what my name means. So I have an ancestor whose last name was Dahlman, and is from Sweden, Norway, you know, one of those Slavic countries. Wait, that's not the same. One of those Scandinavian countries. Anyway, I'm like, okay, well, and that's what my mom used to say. Well, there's these relatives. I'm like, okay, I just left it at that. And then our friend, our coworker Dave, who served an LDS mission in Norway, he's like, oh yeah, that name totally fits you. And I'm like, what are you talking about? He's like, well, that means valley in Norwegian. And I live in Star Valley, and I am a diehard Star Valley guy. I'm like, that totally does fit.
I actually got the whole breakdown of my last name. My first name is just biblical name. But my whole last name, I got that from my grandma a couple of years ago. The whole family lineage of Feely. And that was a little interesting because we've apparently spelled it in like 30 different ways.
Yeah,
over
why
the
not?
Many years. We were Ophely before... coming over.
You don't know Feely?
Yeah, we were.
And how I wish you still were.
Yeah, they chopped the O off when we came over to...
Ouch!
To the States. We were Ophely. We used to spell it with I's instead of E's at one point in the family lineage.
Feely?
Yeah, Ophely.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it like so 30 different
are
spellings.
Like are you like a Hobbit fan? Because one of the dwarves' names is Feely.
So I've... That's one of those franchises. Feely, I think we've discussed this on one of our road trips before, but I have not yet sat down and watched all the Lord of the Rings movies.
Freaking weirdo.
But the last time I was down in St. Louis visiting family, they had a for sale in the DVD section. Everything was half off because it was right after Christmas, and it had the entire Lord of the Rings trilogy plus the Hobbit trilogy in a box set for $11.
Oh, wow.
So I'm like, well, haven't seen it yet, but for $11... might as well pick that one up, and I got the Jurassic series. All six of those movies was for $9.99, I think. Double whammied it. Came home with two sets of DVDs.
You're like a bargain shopper, you Feely. But anyway, I don't even know where we were going with this, but yeah, family names are funny.
And we were originally on the transfer portal where I was going to mention Notre Dame got arguably one of our bigger. Transfer. We stole, because that's what we do. We're Irish hooligans, and we steal what we need. Sam Hartman coming over from broke all of Philip Rivers' ACC records: passing yards, passing touchdowns, completion percentage, quarterback rating, all the career ACC passing records. All of them used to belong to Philip Rivers, and now all belong to Hartman. Hartman graduated from Wake Forest. He's got his degree; it's in hand, and then learned that. Because of the COVID year, he had one more year of eligibility.
Which is what they're calling super seniors.
Yes. And straight up said, out loud, he said, you know what? Right now I'm projected, if he came out for the draft, he was going to be a fourth, fifth round pick. He said, I'm better than that. I broke all of Philip Rivers' record. I think playing at Wake Forest, I'm not getting respected. I'm playing one more year, but I'm doing it at Notre Dame. And he thinks he'll be a first round pick next year.
Maybe he will, or maybe he'll be a seventh-round pick. That's the funny thing about the draft. You just don't know.
It really is. But
Sam Howell was projected to be the first overall pick.
That's true.
He came back, and now he plays for the Commanders after they picked him in the fifth round.
You do hate, though, to see when this one's a transfer, so maybe people would laugh a little more. You do hate to see when a guy comes back purely out of school. He's like, no, I'll come back my senior year at North Carolina. I like my teammates. I'll come play with my teammates.
and it costs him millions of dollars.
Yeah, and you're like, Oh, he did a good thing. Why did it have to burn him?
And it did.
Yeah.
Although maybe not so mad. If he turns out to be a good player, he's going to have the starting job. So there you go.
Sam Hartman, though, Notre Dame fans, all very excited. ACC player of the year, this, that. People like to say we haven't had a quarterback since Brady Quinn.
Yeah.
Come on. Ian Book was good and in college.
And Brady Quinn wasn't. He's overrated, dude.
He was
overrated.
He was terrible in the NFL, but I mean, he could throw a forward pass.
That's
in college.
That's like saying Kellen Moore. Oh wow, Kellen Moore, he won all these games. He sucked.
I don't think people like Brady Quinn just because he won, though, at Notre Dame. I mean, he put up some passing numbers. But lest we forget that happens a lot.
I'm just being a jerk.
Have you seen, I think it was ESPN, did their top 10 of the 21st century at every position? And this was purely for college football and how hard you occasionally have to laugh at, man, college football, the NFL transition really is a crapshoot. They did the top 10 quarterbacks in college football since the year 2000, like three of them were any good in the NFL.
Well, yeah, because think about who your college guys are. You're probably talking Tim Tebow.
So Tebow was on there.
Isaac Kellen Moore, I think, won more games than anyone
Moore
in history.
Not, but I think Tebow was one. Then Joe Burrow, who only really had 1 year in college football, but I guess they gave him bonus points for it being the greatest year.
It was the greatest year ever.
Three was Cam Newton.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So I'll go, okay, you got Cam and Joe. And I think, what was the other one? I don't remember, but other names on that list, Matt Leinart was on the list. Vince Young was on the list. Guys like that that were, Trevor Lawrence.
Colt McCoy probably
and
was
know,
on there.
I know Lawrence is like a baby, but I feel confident enough saying that he should count as the third name of, okay, he's decent in the NFL.
Well,
he's pretty solid. He's won a playoff game already on his team of babies.
Interestingly enough, you bring up Cam Newton. He's making some news today.
He's going to throw
at the Auburn Pro Day, which he has been quoted as saying, there are not 32 MFers better than me out there.
I did see that.
So in other words, he's saying he should be a starter in the NFL. And you know what? He probably is right. But I don't know who is going to pull that trigger.
It would have to be a team. Cam Newton is unfortunately in that awkward spot of no team that's rebuilding is going to want him because they're like, well, by the time we get a team around you, you're going to be like 38, dude. Literally, it would have to be the perfect storm of, man, we have this great team right now ready to go. All we need's a quarterback.
Well, literally, the team, if he had a best shot, would be his former coach at the Commanders.
Oh, yeah.
And if they don't want him, that says something because Ron Rivera has basically re-signed everyone that used to play for Carolina for Washington.
It is almost disheartening, though, to watch Cam Newton be on the outside looking in, trying to fight back in. They weren't my team, so I'm talking purely from a neutral observer standpoint. That 2015 Panthers team was so fun.
Oh, yeah. It was.
I loved watching them every...
He was kind of invincible.
Even that year, like, even when we all... Even the haters that were like, yeah, but, you know, most of it's because his guys are getting open because teams are afraid of his legs. He's not a great passer. Didn't matter that year. That year, they were... He was fun. The defense was fun. The defense had a lot of ex-Bears, by the way. Ron Rivera, the coach. If you want to count Jared Allen for his 1 year in Chicago. Charles Tillman started on that defense.
Yeah.
I want to say they had Chris Conte, who I hate, but he was... Daniel Manning was there. They had Greg Olsen.
Yeah.
I called them... I said, in 2015 was a very bad year for the Bears, so it made it really easy to go, well, we suck, but Bears South is doing pretty good.
Yeah, see, that's kind of how we call Washington Carolina North, so at least we have at some point. The interesting thing about Cam Newton, though, is he is kind of a unique player in that, again, he's come out and they're going to have, he's going to throw at the Auburn Pro Day, and the stat geeks came out and they showed that he's the only player in history with 30,000 passing yards and 5,000 rushing yards. He's it. And it got me thinking, how far away is Josh Allen from something like that? So Allen still has about 12,000 yards to go or three seasons to hit 30,000 passing. He's at 18 something right now. and he's over 3,000 in rushing. So literally in like 3 years, he could be the next guy.
I think the main difference between those two is I've always kind of felt like they were a very similar player. It just feels like Allen is lasting a little longer, and his prime now has been about 3 years, and it feels like he's going to stay there. It kind of felt like Cam Newton playing at this level lasted about a year or two, and then other than that, he was just pretty good.
Well, it also feels like Allen has turned into more of a passer than anyone was willing to give him credit for.
I thought Cam Newton was a better decision maker.
I think Newton had just 1 year of over 4,000 yards passing. I'd have to look that up. Whereas Allen has had three straight.
Newton's problem was actually quite literally in the arm talent. And I know it's because when you got a guy that's just an athletic freak, you always, oh, the talent's there. But it's, like, Newton was actually a very good decision maker. He knew, I think it was Tom Brady who said, the most important aspect of playing quarterback isn't knowing how to throw a ball, it's who to throw to.
Yeah.
Newton was very good at the who to throw to. Just occasionally. Maybe he overbulked. Maybe that was the problem.
I don't know.
Shoulder was in the way. Because sometimes those passes came out like someone shot him with a rifle coming out of his hand. But I always felt he was underrated as a decision maker. And of course, obviously, we all know the running. He was unbelievable. Very fun to watch. Miss you, Cam Newton. I hope someone gives him. Maybe New England can give him a second shot now that they know that Mac Jones is poo.
I doubt it. They've already tried that. You know who ought to give him a look is someone
Jets. If Aaron Rodgers doesn't go there.
What about the Cardinals?
I don't think that they'd commit to him being the starter, though, and that's what Newton clearly wants.
Well, and I'm just, Murray is just, I have never been all in on Murray. He seems like he's just a little diva. I don't like him.
If you're a team like the Rams, would you say, if there's these rumors they're going to trade Matt Stafford, if you just be up front with him and say, you know what, you want a starting role? We need a bridge quarterback 1 to 2 years because we're going full rebuild. Would you like to steer our ship for a year or two so that we have someone at least competent? And then Newton gets his paycheck. He gets to start football games.
Ooh, here's one. How about the Titans?
The Titans need someone.
Because Tannehill, I think they're not going to keep paying him. And then there's a guy that could step in.
Malik Willis makes a lot more sense as a backup to Newton than he does a backup to Ryan Tannehill.
Malik Willis right now looks like he should be backing up someone at the snack stand.
Future XFL quarterback Malik Willis?
Maybe.
Did you see the tweet, by the way, from the XFL? From the official XFL. I've never seen such hot trash talk that almost indicts you as well. It was the funniest thing ever for a multitude of reasons. But tweeting out, future XFL quarterback Sam Darnold has signed a contract. And I don't remember, who did Darnold end up signing with? Because he just left Carolina, signed with somebody.
You're right. He signed with, I'll find it.
Okay. Their tweet said, future XFL starting quarterback Sam Darnold has signed a contract with this new team. And I went, oh my goodness. Like, maybe he's not now.
The Niners.
The 49ers, that's right.
And apparently, this story right at the top, Trey Lance threatened by 49ers signing Sam Darnold.
That's very sad.
Well, you should be threatened, Trey, because you haven't done diddly squat except get hurt.
Isn't it hilarious, too? Now, I praise John Lynch a lot for a lot of how he's built up that team, considering when he got there, lest we not forget that they were picking in the top three. Number two, I think. Very infamously, we traded the third pick to move up one spot with them and take Mitch Trubisky.
You know what's crazy? But Sam Darnold's still only 25.
Mm-hmm. He's just a little puppy. Wow. Just a wee little lad.
It's just interesting.
Well, he was stupid young when they drafted him, if we all recall, because he was the youngest guy in that draft.
That's true.
He was only officially a sophomore. He'd only played 2 years at USC. But anyhow, the 49ers, they've been kind of swing and miss at these early quarterbacks. It's the one thing they haven't been able to get right. But then they find their guy with the last pick of the draft. Yeah. And it's like, how do I grade that for John Lynch? Like, you couldn't hit with pick number three, but then we give you pick 256 and then you get it right?
Well, then even last year, they had spent all offseason chasing away Garoppolo, and then, oh, by the way, sorry, we need you to start and win 10 games. You okay with that? I guess it was, so. Yeah, so yeah.
It's hard to be bothered by many things when you're that handsome.
There's definitely some luck involved, too. You're absolutely right. We better look at the news of the day. And one huge element that you've kind of been following more than me, but I have been following a little bit, is the World Baseball Classic.
The world, and I mentioned that would tie into your World War II reference from earlier. We got to drop a couple more bombs on Japan later on tonight. Mike Trout taking on Shohei. How about that? The captain of Team USA and the captain of Team Japan. They've led their team to this point. Could you imagine if those two were on the same team?
I was just going
to
say,
how dominant that team
would be. I saw that meme. It's like, wouldn't this be crazy if they were on the same team? Oh, come on, Angels.
Yeah, I felt really, by the way, as a White Sox fan, and I'm not going to be, there are too many people. Because of some of the injuries, there were some Mets fans and a Mets reporter who got into some deep water for calling the World Baseball Classic a waste of everyone's time and just skip it. And oh my God, why are we getting... Because Edwin Diaz got hurt and a bunch of players came after him and said, because representing our country is incredibly important to us and we want to win it for team...
That,
I believe it was Team Venezuela.
Like, that'd be like going out and saying the Ryder Cup is a waste of time for golf fans. Oh, wait, you wouldn't say that because they would lynch your house.
Or remember
they love the Ryder Cup.
Remember when the NHL for one season didn't let its players participate in the Olympics and the players almost stormed Bateman's house and killed him?
Well, and they should. people want to represent their country.
So anyhow, the United States, I believe, would be the first team to ever go back-to-back if they were to win this thing.
And if we do, lots of World War One and Two references coming.
Was Japan involved in one? I didn't think
everyone was involved in one.
All right.
I don't know.
Anyhow.
World War, Aaron. Come on.
Obviously, a couple of games ago, we took on Team Venezuela in a very epic contest that finished with the United States down 2 in the 8th inning.
Trey Turner, a grand salami.
He called it the biggest home run of his life. He has won World Series. He has played numerous postseason MLB home runs under his belt. He called that grand slam the greatest home run of his life.
Yeah, I don't get the whole, especially with a sport that's just where it seems like they're trying to gain or retain fans, both. And sorry, the World Baseball Classic seems to be pretty popular. Why would you badmouth it?
Because his closing pitcher got hurt and he was being whiny about it.
Whoop-de-doo. Yeah. Go get another one.
There's not too many Edwin Diaz's floating
around. Hey, I like him too. I love the trumpet song for Edwin Diaz.
But the White Sox were almost in a similar boat, and you didn't hear me sitting there going, we need to cancel the World Baseball Classic. The USA was taking on Team Cuba, and not quite as dramatic, we clobbered Team Cuba in the semifinals.
14-2, I think is what that one was.
And it was so, I call it bittersweet, because there is still a part of your brain that's like, yeah, go USA, go USA. But then every time Moncada or Luis Robert, who were batting 3-4 for Team Cuba, basically carrying Team Cuba, and they both play for the White Sox, and I'm like, oh, Luis Robert's up to bat. Let me see if he'll jack a home run here. Oh, no, wait, no, I don't want that. Oh, dang it. No, I can't root for that. But there's part of my brain that secretly is, because it's Moncada and Robert. And I'm like, dang it. I don't want to root against them. I like them.
It's okay.
But at this point, the game was already 14-2. We hit a pop fly into the shallow left field, and I see Moncada going back for it. And up comes the left fielder, and I go, okay, the left fielder's calling for it. Get out of there, Yoan. Bang! They smack into each other. Moncada was feared to have cracked a rib. Turns out, the Cuban medical staff looked him over. They said, you know what? He has some bruising.
He is fine.
Yeah. He arguably, if it were up to them, if it were their team, but obviously Cuba's out, they're like, we think it would be about 2 to 3 weeks, and he'd be back. Which means that if now he's going to get looked over by the White Sox staff, but that means he'd roughly make it in time for the first week of the regular season. So, catastrophe avoided, but when he was just laying there on the ground for several minutes, and I'm a Sox fan, and I'm going, the game was already 12-2, Yoan, don't hurt yourself now.
You know what, though? But here's the thing, especially baseball. You have to admit that baseball has more weird injuries than any other sport combined. All of them combined. Mm. You can have a guy that's dominating on the mound, and then on the one Sunday.
We felt that last year.
And then on the one Sunday he gets off, he's barbecuing with somebody.
Oh, okay.
And cuts his finger on a pop can or a beer can, and now he's out for a month. And it's just like, that crap does not happen in other sports.
I thought you were talking about this. So we had one last year as a Sox fan.
Where they sneeze and they break a rib.
Michael Kopech.
Weird stuff.
Was just a flamethrower the whole first 2 months of the season last year for us. And he's carving through the Texas Rangers. We're two innings in. He's going into the third inning. He's pitching a no-hitter through two innings. Not that impressive, but just saying he was. He was having another good start to the game. Goes out there to start the third inning. Throws one pitch, and I guess it had rained 2 days before, and the ground's his right foot that he lands on slides down, so he does like a little mini split. Hops up, and then he starts doing this. And he's like trying to wiggle his hips. And then he just kind of goes down to a knee, and he's grimacing. And we're like, what's going on here? Anyway, he tore a tendon in his groin and missed a month. He was dominating that game, and he stepped on one slippery pile of dirt, and it slid on him. And
yeah,
like, it's just weird. Come on!
It's just weird stuff. I'm just saying, both of those things that I just said were real things that have happened in the last 10 years.
Yes.
For pitchers and players in the MLB.
And so
for me, if a guy wants to go all out and cracks a rib at the World Baseball Classic, that just means he's playing high-level competitive baseball, getting ready for your season.
And you could argue that
he could have got hurt doing anything.
This is the highest level of baseball that exists, even more so than the MLB, because look at the lineups of these countries. These are all-star teams that we've thrown out there to compete against each other, to represent their country. It's not going to be the most glamorous. It's not going to be the most televised. But as far as just, we got the highest conglomeration of talent together in a game that matters, and they're going to go compete. Team USA versus Team Venezuela versus Team Japan versus Team Mexico. These are literally all-star game lineups.
Hey, don't forget Great Britain, dang you.
Except, unlike the All-Star game, it's like if they played the All-Star game, except all the players gave a crap.
Yeah.
That's what this is.
Yeah.
And I'm looking forward to tonight against Japan.
You better watch that bomb talk. I don't think the politically correct people would go for that.
Japan, obviously, can't talk about Team Japan without mentioning Shohei Ohtani, who will not be their starting pitcher tonight. He is obviously still in the
lineup. Why not?
I believe they're going with one of their other pitchers. I forget which one.
Someone who's not as good?
actually, I mean, their whole starting lineup is probably five of the top 15 pitchers in the MLB.
I'm just saying, if I was Japan, I would ride that Ohtani train.
Although,
I'd be like that picture when they show the people in India latching onto the train. I'd be like that, and Ohtani would be my train.
Ohtani usually heats up around the middle of the season. Maybe they fear he's still in spring training mode.
Maybe.
And they're like, all right, this version of Ohtani will give up 4 or 5 runs.
I was watching, he was jacking homers in warm-up, and it was just like, that guy reminds me of Ivan Drago from Rocky IV. It's like, he's not even human.
Have you seen the clip from when he played in the Japanese Baseball League of him hitting a ball off the roof of the Tokyo Dome?
No.
He put a ball off the roof of the Tokyo Dome. They ended up having to just call it a foul ball. They're like, well, you can't play it. We think it probably would have gone for a home run because it hit the roof of the Tokyo Dome. But yeah, it hit the roof of the dome, and they had to no, it wasn't a foul ball. They just redid they're like, all right, that pitch doesn't count. Sorry.
Try and level it out a little, would you, Shohei?
That became a bit of a viral clip on YouTube.
So now this one is, well, at least the ones in Miami tonight is going to be in an open-air stadium. So
yes. So hopefully, if he hits something in the air here.
Can you imagine how greasy an indoor stadium in Miami would be? Gross.
Oh, I haven't seen.
Okay. Well, I guess they probably have AC.
So the White Sox also have a couple players playing for Team USA, but two of them are pitchers. So they're not everyday players, so they haven't announced the starter for tonight yet. Maybe it will be Lance Lynn, and I can have myself a jolly good time. Lance Lynn pitching in the World Baseball Classic has been a joy, by the way. Do you enjoy trash talk in your sports style?
A little bit.
Do you enjoy fiery athletes, or are you more of the, you know what, let's more Larry Fitzgeralds for me, please?
It depends.
So I am definitely a guy, just because, and this is nothing because, you know, whatever, I think that style is objectively better, anything like that. It's just how I always was. I'm very much a, you can tell the exact emotion I am feeling at any given time during any competition because my face will give it away instantly and so will my words. Do they have it on the site yet? Who's starting?
It looks like they do. It looks like the U.S. is going with Merrill Kelly.
Okay. Kendall Graveman is one of the relief pitchers.
And Japan is going with Shota Imanaga.
Ah, yes. Okay, that's who it was.
At least that's what...
Yes.
That's what this thing
says. Tim Anderson starting at second base, despite being a career shortstop for the White Sox. And he's been playing very well at second. Had a couple of home runs. But Lance Lynn has been so fun to watch. First of all, Lance Lynn is 6 foot six, and he's a big pot-bellied grizzly bear of a man.
Hey,
and that's
easy.
Just funny. Lance Lynn, every time he strikes a guy out, looks like he's trying to kill a bird flying by with nothing but his voice.
By the way.
As he just screams skyward.
By the way, ESPN reporting that Shohei Ohtani says he will pitch in relief.
I mean, you might as well.
Yeah.
You got all these guys at your disposal.
It's the last game, so. But we would be remiss if we didn't play the absolutely awesome play-by-play of the Japanese win last night over Mexico. This is why sports is cool, Aaron, because you don't have to speak Japanese to know what's going on here.
He can get a huge lead. Cracked in the air.
Now, of course, I would pick the American version. Sorry about that. I'll find it.
I can show you this later, but have you seen clips from the Korean bunt derby yet?
Oh, no.
Those were circulating the internet. So the Korean Baseball League at their All-Star game hosted the bunt derby with the announcers just losing their minds. It basically worked like curling, where there was this is 15 points if you get it in the red circle. The slightly larger yellow circle is 10 points, and the really wide purple circle is 5 points, and you get 10 pitches. See how many points you can get, and they have to try to bunt it into the exact correct spot while the pitcher lobs them baseballs. And it looks like the most boring thing ever, but the announcers won't stop screaming at the top of their lungs the whole time, and it's great. Or it's great as a clip on YouTube, I guess. But anyhow, is Dal still searching for the Japanese...
Well, they're all out
broadcast.
There. In fact, probably the easiest thing to do is I know I've got it on my Twitter feed, so I'll just do that.
Okay. So as I'll kind of march us along then while Dal searches for that, and then we'll come back to it. Also going down this week, Dal, we obviously have the NFL offseason and some of the teams there. The NFC North, we have to talk about it, Dal, because I'm a Bears fan. But why won't the Detroit Lions go away?
I don't know. Right now, they look like trouble.
They look like they're gearing up to basically try to replicate what Philadelphia did last year and say, we were a decent team last year. What if we buy a whole new roster of players at every one of our weak spots and try to create a perfect one-year storm of a team? And that's what Detroit looks like they're doing. And can we also talk about how Dan Campbell is annoyingly actually a really good coach?
All right, here we go. Tell me he's not saying sayonara!
If I spoke Japanese, this is likely what I would have been like when Tim Anderson hit that Field of Dreams walk-off. I understand.
But yeah.
That was the day before my wedding, by the way.
But yeah, the World Baseball Classic doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Just ask those guys who just had an aneurysm.
And now, it's Team USA and Team Japan, baby.
You're going down, Japan!
Let's get it! That's at 5 o'clock tonight, FS1. 5 o'clock Mountain Time.
Man,
it's whatever time.
There's too many things going on tonight. The Wyoming Cowgirls are playing in the WNIT in the Little Apple tonight.
Correct.
So I'll be listening to that.
So unfortunately, all of our coworkers' primary men's teams have all been eliminated from postseason play. However, all of us, the women's teams, are still going, baby. Utah made it to the Sweet 16. Notre Dame made it to the Sweet 16, and the Wyoming Cowgirls, as you just said, taking on Kansas State tonight.
And they're going to win. And then they're going to get another home game. And if they get another home game, I might have to drive out to Laredice and cheer on the ladies.
Sometimes you simply must.
It's true.
We were talking about the NFL offseason right now, Dal. And by the way, did you see that only two teams have yet to have actually signed a player that wasn't on their own team last year in free agency.
Huh.
Two teams left that have not signed a single free agent that wasn't on their own team. The Jacksonville Jaguars. And that one surprised me a little.
Yeah, me too.
Because I was actually arguing with some Jags fans on Twitter.
You would.
I said, what are you all complaining? They're all acting like the sky is falling. Like, oh, we need to fire our GM because we didn't get Orlando Brown. Blah, blah, blah. I'm like, you guys have a good team. Why are you acting like if you don't hit on free agency, you're going to draft? And then I looked it up and I went, oh, you haven't signed anyone.
Who cares?
Oh, and again, I think they'll easily win the AFC South. I do at least understand to an extent the concept of, well, we don't want to turn into the Tennessee Titans, so let's get ahead of this now, if that's what the mentality is. I don't want to win the AFC South just because the AFC South sucks and then get bounced in round one every
year. They re-signed Andrew Wingard. You're good. You got Dewey. You got Dewey back.
The other one, and they also lost a very good right tackle, though, which might be the problem, in Juwan Taylor. Lost him to Kansas City.
Oh, and Kansas City lost a lineman to Washington, Wiley.
Yes, and they lost their left tackle to Cincinnati, Orlando Brown, who the Jags fans were upset they didn't get. He's kind of the biggest name for offensive lineman in free agency this year. And now Cincinnati's Jonah Williams is demanding a trade because he knows he's going to be a backup. He gave up the most sacks in the NFL last season, and he's acting like he didn't see this coming.
And,
are you kidding me?
And then you're acting like you're wanted in a trade? I mean, I can literally show up and give up the most sacks. I'm confident.
I can at least match that.
I'm confident I can give up more sacks than you.
But anyhow, Cincinnati, I feel like I talked about this last offseason, but they really are literally doing what I said after they lost the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Every offseason, they're just going, we're spending all our money on offensive line until it's perfect.
Well, You've got, that's the thing. We kind of started off the show with the transfer portal in Wyoming, mm-hmm. saying Wyoming knows they've got the guy. They know they've got the guy. Cincinnati knows they've got the guy. They've got the goods at quarterback. Maybe if he got sacked 30 or 40 less times during the season,
he
would feel better in the postseason.
I was about to say, it's to me a lot less about, do you think you can keep him upright more in the regular season? Because here's the thing. He gets sacked a lot in the regular season. And he still throws for sub 5,000 yards.
Unless he gets his knee broken injured. In half by Chase Young. That happened once.
Yeah, he's still doing fine. You know what it is, Dal? They need to shore up when they're giving up the sack. 2 years in a row, their season ended on a pass. One of them wasn't a sack. Burrow got the pass away, but it was essentially a sack.
But to me, I don't think there's anything wrong with addressing your offense. You could address your offensive line with a lot of scrutiny every year, and you wouldn't be out of line.
I've talked about this a lot, right? My dad's catchphrase.
Yeah, draft. Fat guys.
Fat guys win football games.
It's true.
You should never go through a draft in which you don't take at least one offensive lineman and one defense. Make it a rule.
By
you
the way,
write it down.
Your dad sounds like a wise man. And on top of that, you have a greater chance for fat guy celebrations, which are the best.
Chicago Bears fans love themselves a good fat guy with a football.
Oh, by the way,
doing a celebration.
By the way, I don't think I gave you nearly enough crap last week. You were talking about future Chicago Bear Deron
Payne
for months. No, sir.
As back
in the crimson and the burgundy and gold, baby.
Each time I said it, a new blood vessel in Dal's head would burst. It was great.
As far as I'm concerned, we should let Deron Payne and Jonathan Allen play quarterback. Just send them both back there. What are they going to do? Get tackled?
But anyhow, speaking on some offseason stuff, so Jags and the Green Bay Packers have yet to add anyone.
Well,
it might be losing Aaron Rodgers.
That makes sense because what a freaking mess. And the thing is, when it comes to Aaron Rodgers, he's done probably what he should do. When it's like, yeah, I'll play there. Up to you guys to figure it out. See you later. I'm going to Aruba or wherever, you know, whatever these people do when they're that rich. And it's just like, by saying that, it's now like firmly on these front, especially the Jets, because they've already shown they're willing to go all in. And the Packers are like, well, we're going to suck next year. So how much can we fleece these guys?
And the thing is, apparently the The line in the sand now is the Packers have withdrawn slightly, which is already a bad sign for a negotiation standpoint. We already know you've given up a little bit. But they're apparently adamant. They're like, at least one first-round pick. We want a first-round pick for Aaron Rodgers. And so I believe it was Ian Rappaport did a poll from a bunch of his sources. He got 18 different team scouts from across the league to give them input. He wouldn't name them, but he claims it was 18 different teams who all, on average, said, we would value Aaron Rodgers right now at around a late second round pick or a third round pick. That's what we think Aaron Rodgers is worth. And so right now, the Jets are apparently in that boat, and they're saying, look, we know he's not going to play for you next year. So I'm not giving you a first round pick.
If I'm somebody else, if I'm one of these other teams,
would you swoop in?
Yes. Swoop in. It's these teams that you're telling me there's not at least 10 teams then who wouldn't give up a first rounder plus for Aaron Rodgers? Of course there is. No, they're out there, man. You got these guys publicly willing to go multiple first rounders and move up in the draft and get something that they don't know.
Here's the thing.
And instead, you can give up one and get Aaron Rodgers. Yeah, he's 39.
I know he's hurt.
I would.
I know he got hurt last year. If that's the route I'm going to go, you're not going to possibly convince me that giving up one extra first and getting Lamar Jackson isn't a way better deal than getting Aaron Rodgers.
And maybe
Rodgers.
It is. But I guess what I'm saying is the Jets, to quote my favorite Transformers movie, your bargaining posture is highly dubious. What are you doing? It's over. You either have to pay it or say out publicly, you're not paying it and go another route. You can't just sit there and go, yeah, but we really want him.
You say that as if the Packers might not also cave eventually. They know Rodgers doesn't want to play for him. Eventually, you keep badgering him, they might have to just say, you know what, fine, second round pick.
I'm just saying I would laugh if some other team swooped in and grabbed him.
I think Green Bay has the low ground here. That's my opinion. Because Rodgers has already said he don't want to play for him. So your options are literally this. Trade him, which you now have to do.
Yeah, but...
Or pay him $45 million to sit at home.
They're not going to do that. But you're telling me that they couldn't go around and convince... They only need one team. They need one team that it will give them what they're asking.
The Jets are the only team that have even talked to him yet. I think the Jets are going to end up winning this battle.
Since we're almost done, and this would blow your freaking mind, what if the Bears?
No.
What? He already owns the Bears.
The Bears aren't trading for Aaron Rodgers.
Why? They don't want to win.
He's 39 years old.
And he was selfish. And he was still a borderline MVP candidate this last year.
No.
Yeah.
No, he was not.
Yeah, he was.
No way.
First half of the season, he was.
First half of the season, he was still terrible.
Or one of the halves, he was.
He threw 5 interceptions against Detroit.
I'm just saying. I'm just saying there's teams out there that aren't that bad off. I would love to see them swoop in and then just screw the Jets.
No, screwing the Packers is far more entertaining. Anyhow, while we're on the subject
of screwing, what?
Yes, the Detroit Lions loaded up on defense big time. They stole David Montgomery from us.
Yeah, big signing there within the division.
Mm-hmm. And you know it's a shame because you want to hate a guy when he does that. And David Montgomery is so unhateable, and he wrote this big speech about how much he loves Bears fans and how, and this and that. And he's like, they offered me such and such money, and I have a kid now, and I have to this and.
Hey, running backs, you have like one chance to capitalize on your
and
money.
And so as a Bears fan, you're just like, all right, David, I'll still hug you if I see you in
public.
What's
interesting is all the Lions fans were like, we're getting rid of Jamal Williams, what? They were all sad about that.
I love Jamal Williams because his personality, he's a super cool dude.
I don't know if he is or not.
Oh.
Played at the Y.
Okay.
Whoop-de-doo, you had 17 touchdowns.
All his post-game interviews, and again, because I'm a big old anime nerd, I like that he is too, and he gives those nerdy press conferences. They're fun, but David Montgomery is better at football than he is right now. Like, So they upgraded their backup running back spot, and for some reason, they're like allergic to giving DeAndre Swift the football. So you know Montgomery is going to get 15 carries a game.
Talk about another guy who's going to get fed next year. Oh, crap. Dalvin's brother, David Cook, plays for the Bills.
Yes. Now I'm forgetting his name because you did
Benjamin Cook.
No?
Ben, what is it? Gosh dang it.
Look what you've done. Now no one knows it. James Cook.
Thank you. He is going to get fed next
year. Assuming the Bills don't draft a running back. Austin Eckler's out there.
I don't think they're going to get... I think they want someone a little bigger if they're going to go get somebody.
So my Deuce Vaughn prediction not happening.
Well, I would love... The Derrick Henry thing makes me giddy. Mm-hmm. Thinking of Derrick Henry and Josh Allen in the same backfield. Oh, my gosh.
That's very unnice.
That would just
Well, think of all those linebackers.
Screw them. They know what they're getting in on. They know what they're getting into.
And for some reason, as I'm now just going to speed through these last couple of points because I wanted to talk about them on this week's show.
Okay, sorry.
I don't know if we actually have an official time limit, but I don't want to bug Duke.
We kind of do.
We self-referee ourselves. So apparently now suddenly, just because he's a Bear, I guess, and Bears fan. I've told you about Bears, all the analysts talking about, well, the Bears are currently leading the offseason because they got all this. And obviously, when you're the worst team in football, that doesn't mean we're Super Bowl favorites. I'm just saying.
They've had a good offseason.
They had all this cap space.
To this point.
Yes. And they acquired DJ Moore. And the only people that disagree are Bears fans, because Bears fans are a bit tarded all the time.
Bears fans.
Yes. And everything is bad all the time to some of them. Now there's an actual debate going on because some callers called into NBC SN Chicago. Dal's eyes just turned into, oh.
No, all please right, well, please finish
we have
your
a,
point.
A passing to report here in a second, but a big debate sparked on Bears Twitter. I don't even think we fixed wide receiver because DJ Moore, I mean, he's a good wide receiver too, but you wouldn't want him to be your number one. What?
Who said you were done anyway?
Apart from that, first of all, officially speaking, there's 32 teams in the league, right? So you'd have to be a top 32 receiver to be a one in theory, right? He's easily that. I would argue DJ Moore is top 15 with a chance of, if he has a really good year, he can sneak into the top 10.
It's probably one of those guys who feel like they have to pigeonhole. They're not a true one. They're more of a two masquerading as a one or a three as a two. It's like, shut up. Just shut up.
So that
those are the people that use the phrase half yard line. Idiots. There is no half yard line.
But may I just point out, a
Twitter, or one inch line, whatever it is.
A Twitter user who goes by DeBear's blog, who does their podcast in Chicago, simply tweeted out, because they're very similar situations. We compare ourselves to other teams all the time. It's what you do when you're rebuilding. You pick another team with a similar mold, and you say, that's what we want to be. So how about Philly and Buffalo, who have quarterbacks that people say, you know, same style, both quarterbacks that are currently above Justin Fields by a lot, but the style is the same. So we're like, that's what we want Justin to be.
You want him to be Jalen Hurts. You want him to be Josh Allen.
What helped both of those guys in their third year? And we all talk about, oh, you got him a number one wide receiver. So let's talk about the flip side of that. So we pulled up the stats on him. Well, what wide receiver did you get those guys? Both times, it was a receiver who had played exactly 5 years, and you want to talk about the NFL's a copycat league. So A.J. Brown had played exactly 5 years in Tennessee before getting shipped off to Philadelphia. He had fewer receiving yards on more catches than DJ Moore had in his first 5 years before DJ Moore came here to Chicago. No one is questioning if A.J. Brown is a number one wide receiver.
Because he is.
Obviously. Fewer yards, more catches.
And he's huge.
You know what the other one that I think is a lot more intriguing and a lot more stylistically fitting? You know who has almost identical, technically, I think he had like 100 fewer yards and a couple more catches, and the same number of touchdowns in his first 5 years before getting shipped to Buffalo. Stephon Diggs and DJ Moore, look at their first 5 years. They're almost identical receivers.
Well, I think if DJ Moore puts up numbers anywhere near
2020 Stephon Diggs
or AJ Brown, Bears fans would be ecstatic.
Yeah, except for the five Bears fans still clinging to.
Well, yeah, but those are the ones that are like the guy on the Da Vinci Code where they're just constantly flogging themselves.
Yes.
With the giant whip. I can't be happy. I don't deserve to be happy.
I'm sure every fan base is like this if you actually dive into.
Oh, yeah. Everybody's got those.
So it's probably just because I am a Bears fan, so I just interact with them the most. But man, I should really stop being on the internet for sports. I can't stand some of these fans out there that clearly know nothing.
I think sometimes it would benefit us to get off of it. That being said, I am waiting most anxiously as we end our show for the news that Washington will be sold. The owners' meeting is next week.
That feels very Aaron Rodgers-esque right now.
It's like, got to happen. The owners' meeting is next week.
Yeah.
Supposedly, the Snyders have cleared out of the facility.
Did you hear Magic Johnson's in on that?
That just happened. Magic Johnson. Well, he was in on the group that tried to buy the Broncos with this with this Josh Harris.
He just wants to stay in sports, people.
Well, Josh Harris owns franchises in the other three sports. They want a football franchise. And so they're looking at this one. I think that's going to happen in the next week. Are we ready to address this?
Yep, go ahead.
Okay, this just came across the wire as we're recording this. Sad news. Hall of Famer, Knicks legend, Willis Reed has passed away. 80 years old. Of course, perhaps most famous for coming out of the locker room, 1972 World Championships and spurring his team on to victory. That was the last Knicks championship, by the way. Mm-hmm. Still 1970. Phil Jackson was on that team. That's how long ago that's been. But dead at the age of 80, and that is a sad deal because Willis Reed was kind of known as being a tough guy among tough guys. So that's sad news coming across.
And then the one last thing I did want to touch on here. We were already on football anyway. You know what, Dal? Your team's the last undefeated team standing. I want to know, we're halfway through the year.
Defenders!
I kind of ask it every week, but now we're solidified. We're into it, baby. We're in the midway point of the season. How are you enjoying spring football this go-around?
I've enjoyed it more than last year. I like my Defenders thing. I like that they're winning. I like the beer cup snake.
Mm-hmm.
I like the lemons on the field. I picked the right team.
After it was almost just universally decided that everyone just went, well, and surely Dal will take DC. And Dal's like, sure.
Here's the funny thing. If I was to do it again, I probably would have picked the Battle Hawks because they have a Wyoming player that starts for them. Brian Hill's their starting running back.
But instead, you have to start a fight with the Battlehawks every time you play.
And now it's fine. I like them. I've enjoyed it a lot more than I thought I would.
I've been enjoying it a lot. The USFL started training camp too, so they'll be back in April.
They've got work to do as far as my eyeballs are concerned.
I think it's just as good of an actual on-field product. We both have the same criticism. We'd like to see all eight teams have their own home stadium. The Hub last year was poo.
Yeah, that was...
None of us liked that. I tolerated it because there was football on in May.
I actually like this whole Hub for the week and then you go out and you play at these... I think that's a smart idea.
Obviously, the USFL doesn't have the Rock money, so it's trying to be a little slower. So hopefully next year they will have a home stadium for all eight teams. There's four this time, so two teams have to share one. Blah, blah. And of course, my team, my poor New Orleans Breakers... They have to play in Birmingham, so we don't even get our own home stadium. So that stinks, but...
Well, then why do we call them the New Orleans Breakers?
Because next year they'll be in New Orleans. See, but anyhow...
I'm sorry, I struggle with that crap.
Yeah, no one likes it, but, you know, if you're bored in June and you're like, I miss football, well, there's some football on.
Yeah.
They still play football.
Yeah, it's called called summer camp.
hey, this year... You picked a team. You got a free shirt and or hat on the line. Maybe that'll help
That's
you get a little
true.
More
I forgot. Oh, I'm the Generals. Is that
the
right?
New Jersey Generals.
The New Jersey Generals.
Who just signed a couple of free agents out of college, I guess. So that
Whoop-de-doo.
Apparently, New Orleans made actual, like ESPN was reporting on it, because Akil Glass, who I had to look him up, but was the three-time consecutive HBCU Player of the Year.
Oh,
So he was a superstar in the HBCU division.
So he's kind of like Walter Payton in that way.
Yeah, he wants his shot to get into the NFL. So unfortunately, we'll probably only have him for this 1 year. So we better make it count. Let's win the title. He's going to play quarterback for the Breakers this year.
Now, see, that intrigues me. I want to see how he does.
He threw 36 touchdowns to 5 interceptions his senior year.
Wow.
It was at school in Texas. I don't remember what it was called officially. I'll have to look that
back. Gotta like the ratio, though.
Sorry, it was Alabama A&M.
Oh, okay.
See, is where he played.
You have to like the ratio there.
Yeah. So, and this will be probably, let's face it, similar style of level of competition. Spring League football. It's not quite the NFL yet, but he's out here to show off. Akil Glass, a decent runner, but mostly known as a really skilled pocket passer with a very quick release, cannon arm. I'm excited because I'm that guy. I'm such a nerd for football that I've said this many times. Yes, I'm going to watch the XFL. I'm going to watch every game that's played. I'm going to watch the USFL because I miss the NFL, Dal, and I will do what needs to be done until August is back.
I don't judge. Have you seen me judge? You do what you got to do.
So, yeah, that should be fun. Those training camps open back up. The XFL, we had one of the first upsets of that season thus far. To this point, it's been mostly kind of, yeah, the better team wins.
That's right, Kraken.
The Seattle Sea Dragons knocked off the undefeated Roughnecks. And so they're tied with St. Louis for that second playoff spot in the North.
And who's in first?
That would be your DC Defenders.
Defenders of the Earth.
who are playing the two-headed monster at quarterback. That's a little fun.
Yeah.
That normally doesn't work, and yet here in the XFL, you can make it work.
It works when you got a guy that's running the hell out of the ball like they do.
And Abram Smith, who was, I didn't even know this because I didn't pay attention to the XFL draft, unfortunately.
He was the first overall pick.
He carved up St. Louis.
Well,
he did some dirty things to those poor Battlehawks.
He's probably a guy that's going to get looked at for the NFL at some point,
too. You know who I'm interested to see? Because I think like they need to at least be on a training camp in August, is two wide receivers, and I'm not going to say Josh Gordon, because I think NFL teams know what they got with Josh
Gordon.
I want
to see that little guy from the Sea Dragons. Pease?
Yes! Pearson.
Drew Pearson. I like him. The little guy.
Yeah, he goes by Peasley.
Peasy.
His nickname. He is fast.
Yeah, I want to see him in the NFL.
He is scrappy. I love him. The other one, how about Austin Prohl?
Yeah.
I mean, you got the last name going. He plays like his dad. Now, it's against lesser competition, but let's get him into a camp. Let's see what he is in the preseason.
Yeah, let's see what happens. I'm all for that.
I think he's been fun to watch.
I would love to see Peasy on the Commanders.
I was making fun of my wife the other day because I said, it's funny because your Sea Dragons are going to have to scratch and claw to get that second playoff spot and pass St. Louis in the North because of the weird way the playoffs work. And it's just two per division. There is no, the best two wild cards get to be the, no, it's just two per division. The Renegades have no offense at all, but the Brahmas and Guardians are so awful that we've basically already backpedaled into the playoffs by default halfway through the season. I'm like, the Sea Dragons would probably beat my poor Renegades by 4 touchdowns right now. And yet, we've already clinched a playoff spot almost.
Nice job, Aaron.
Well, poor Cedric. Ben DiNucci, who's leading the XFL, and this is the most Jameis Winston thing I've ever seen in my life. He leads the XFL in passing yards. He leads in passing touchdowns. He leads in completion percentage. Oh, and he also leads in interceptions. Because why not? Well lead in everything.
We call that the Brett Favre.
Yes. Not even like the MVP Brett Favre. We're talking like
average year
2004 to 2007 Brett Favre is what we're looking
there
at here. But yeah, I've been having fun. Hockey playoffs are around the corner. Connor Bedard, us Blackhawk fans are all begging that we stop winning. You're already eliminated. Why did you wait until you were eliminated from playoff contention to start winning? We want Connor Bedard. He's the best, most can't-miss prospect since Connor McDavid came out. And I want Connor McDavid, too, on the Blackhawks.
It doesn't matter. The Avs are winning it again.
Oh, and
what was that?
Oh, I don't... Avalanche have been a little slow as of recently.
88 points?
They're up there. They wouldn't be the favorites right now is all I'm going
to
say.
I don't want to be the favorites. I want to be the champion.
Boston... getting a little tight. Can you scroll back up a little bit? I want to see where they're at the moment.
111 points.
All right, yeah, so they have 13 more games to play. They would need to, if you're a guy who likes history and likes records, Dal apparently doesn't exclusively when it comes to hockey.
Championships, it's all that matters.
Like, you weren't watching to see if Peyton Manning was going to throw touchdown that's number 51. And that's why I said apparently it only for hockey. Like, you weren't watching to see if Aaron Judge was going to break that home run record.
Okay, I was.
So we're on record watch. Boston would need to go 10-3 in their last 13 games to break the wins record. And maybe more impressively, they would need to go 11-2, unless we're going to start getting into the nitty-gritty. There's a lot of, you can lose in overtime and get 1 point. But if they want to do it exclusively with wins, you go 11-2, and you'll break the points record for a season of 132 held by the Montreal Canadiens. They're at 111 right now. Coming down to the wire, at one point it looked like they were going to blow both those records out of the water, but then sports have a way of evening itself out.
Yeah, they do.
They've evened out a little bit, but my goodness, they're still at 111 points with 13 games to play. They would have already won last year's President's Trophy with 13 games left to play. They're having a monster run for a team that I've spoken to a lot of Bruins fans that I just happen to know. They all are from Boston. They all said, well, you know, coming into the year, we were hoping to, let's try to make the playoffs, maybe. We'll get a wild card. We'll get a 3 seed, something like that. Oh, my God, we're the best team maybe in the history of hockey?
No.
How?
Championships determine that, Aaron.
That's, I included a maybe. You got to win the title.
You do.
But if you win the title with that record.
Go hang your division title there, Indianapolis.
Yes. Let me just say, if you win the title and you haven't broken the record, it's just a discussion, right?
Sure.
Talk about we're in. You win the championship and you have those records. Then it's almost bang, stamp it in. We're the greatest team of all time.
Even then, you're going to argue with people, but at least then you have ammo.
Yes, that's all. That's what I'm saying here. For instance. We still have to listen to the 72 Dolphins fans who were like, in my opinion, like the fifth best team in NFL history at
maybe
best.
Maybe not even that.
Still try to fit themselves in. Well, we're the best team ever, 17-0, man. What else matters? Like, lots of things with the easy. Statistically, and I've looked this up before, someone did strength of schedule for all, what is it now, 57 or 58? Mm-hmm. Super Bowl champions ever. All 57 of them ranked by strength of schedule. The 72 Dolphins are the second easiest strength of schedule of every Super Bowl champion ever.
I think you said Washington in 91 was the second.
No, that was a point differential.
Yeah.
Which I think is arguably the most important stat when you're talking about dominance.
Very underrated championship that year.
This one's weird too, but you know the only team that had an easier schedule in the regular season than the 72 Dolphins? The 05 Steelers. Who were a wild they didn't even like dominate. They had that easy schedule and then barely made the playoffs and still won the Super Bowl after that.
Mike Tomlin.
How'd you no, that was that was the chin, baby.
That was
Bill Cowher.
Bill Cowher, you're right.
It had to be Jerome Bettis magic.
Yeah.
They rode the bus.
They did.
Up to Detroit. So I think we covered everything then.
And some.
Yeah, World Baseball Classic tonight, FS1. We made more Italian beef at the Feely household, Dal.
Ooh.
I'm going to scarf down some hoagies with Italian beef on it, and I'm going to watch the U.S. of A. take down Japan. There's nothing more American than an Italian beef sandwich.
I'm just sad I don't have any.
Oh, you can come on over, get yourself a sandwich,
Dal. I might do that.
Yeah, we won't stop you.
Oh, wait. No, I have to go to the canyon. Never mind.
Come back through on your way back. Stop down Twin Cliffs before you head home. Grab a sandwich.
And all of you out there, stop by Twin Cliffs.
You might as well. I think we only have like 8 hoagies, though. So there is a
maybe
time
maybe bring your own
this.
Roll.
Yeah, you got to bring your own bread, and we'll throw beef on it. Well, that's been our show for this week. As always, you can catch us on Spotify, on YouTube, and on svinews.com/podcasts. See you all next time.